This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
In the light of the heartbreaking division that the marriage debate has caused across our nation, we're doing a series of chats about healing broken relationships. And my next guest is Bruce Burgess. He's a professional peacemaker from Peacewise. I'll let him explain to you what that means. Welcome, Bruce.
Hi, Claire. It's good to be here.
Firstly, Bruce, what's a peacemaker? I've never heard of this profession before.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, we can all be peacemakers, but let me just start by saying what it's not. So a peacemaker is not a peace faker. They're not someone who's so invested in keeping a lid on conflict and making sure that no one gets out of order that they will just basically fake peace. Even if there's a broken relationship, they'll pretend that everything's okay. We might call that a sort of a flight response where we just avoid dealing with an issue. So that's a peace faker. Peace breakers are people who, when there's a difference of opinion or a conflict, the way they approach that is through aggression and force. And so they try and force their way on someone. And they don't really care so much about the impact on the relationship as long as they get their view across and they want to win. A peacemaker is actually hugely invested in relationships as well as the issues involved. And so what they will be trying to do is find a way to have a conversation, work through the issues, deal with what's actually in dispute, but at the same time, try and restore and repair the relationship and preserve the relationship, because that's hugely important for them, especially if they're coming from a Christian point of view where relationships matter so much to God and he calls us to care about them too.
So building the relationship is more important than the issue at stake.
It's crucially important. I mean, you won't sacrifice the relationship for the sake of winning the argument.
So, Bruce, when we stridently disagree with each other, and there's been a lot of that in this marriage debate, it can bring out the worst in us. We need your help.
Sure.
So what are some more ways that we can strive to make peace between one another, despite differences of opinion and belief?
Well, one of the things is when we hold an opinion really strongly, we're often very much invested in getting our point of view across at all costs. But what that can typically do is mean that we don't listen well, and we can get easily angry, and we can actually, you know, engage heavily. And what that does is actually shuts down the discussion. So there's actually a verse from James 1:19.
In the Bible.
That's right. And it calls us to actually be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Now, those three little tips are hugely helpful. You know, if you think about when you're having a conversation with someone, if you feel like they're not listening to you, then you tend to get more aggravated and aggressive. And it works the other way around. So if we actually listen well and we can reflect back, okay, this is what I'm hearing you saying, or you believe this and this is why, then you actually show respect and you create a safe place for that conversation. Even if people are saying things that you think are not only wrong, but perhaps even offensive, don't get angry. As soon as people get angry, that shuts the conversation down. And so listen well and respectfully. And if there's something that we can agree with, let's not just focus on what we disagree with. Let's focus on what we do agree with. Even if we think about the marriage debate, you know, there would be people on both sides of the campaign who would say that it's really important to have a respectful debate. It's really important to understand why people believe the things that they do, because they're deeply held views. And so if we listen well, that creates a place of respect where a helpful conversation can take place.
So listening can actually defuse and de-escalate a conflict in a way.
We're given two ears and one mouth.
Yeah.
And so that's not by accident, I think. And so, you know, oftentimes what we're doing is we're preparing what we're going to say next, instead of actually listening to what the other person is saying in that moment and seeing, is there something there that I can agree with, or is there something that helps me understand, you know, how I can explain my view in a way that will be more meaningful to them.
A lot of us, I think, get scared and frightened of causing a conflict, and especially if we've been raised in families where, you know, you tiptoe around issues and that sort of thing. What would you say to someone that's afraid of even causing tension or disagreement?
I think that there is a conscious choice involved in how you approach the issue of responding to a conflict situation. it's easy in the short term to run away and say, look, I'm just not going to rock the boat. But the long-term cost of that is that a relationship then lacks that actual openness and honesty and integrity and the ability to say, look, this is who I am. This is what I believe. Just because I disagree with you doesn't mean I don't love you. But if you fail to even have that conversation, then there's an element of you that's lost and there's an element of integrity in the relationship that's gone. And it will always be less than a full and open and honest relationship if we run away from having the difficult conversations. And in fact, if there's a conflict that's happened, even at a lower level, they don't go away in time. People think, oh, if I just ignore it, it'll go away. That, in my experience, is not what happens. In my experience, what happens is people actually settle into a less than honest or less than open way of communicating. And in time, it can actually become a roadblock in that relationship that makes it hard to be yourself. I mean, I know of all kinds of families where when people go and visit family, some people will just shut down because they don't feel safe to be themselves in that family environment. So there's a huge cost in not raising the conversation.
That's right. And you see a lot of that at Christmas time, don't you?
You do.
People tiptoeing around. I want to raise the issue of the tension between truth and love. And a lot of people of faith have been grappling with this throughout the marriage debate. There are different ways that people of faith view homosexuality and same-sex marriage. There are different levels of acceptance of that. So how can a person who thinks that they have the truth and that truth is different to the truth the other person holds, how do you communicate that without coming across as though you're tearing that person's very identity down?
Well, I think the word identity that you use there is important because in the marriage debate, if you hold a different view to someone, say, for example, to the question of same-sex marriage, there is so much invested in that issue around the question of identity that to some degree, if you hold a different view on whether same-sex marriage is okay, you will be, for them, attacking their identity. So when we talk about speaking the truth in love, which is actually, you know, another concept from the Bible, there is that huge balancing act taking place. You know, Christ calls us to be faithful witnesses and ambassadors for what he teaches. And that's the truth dimension. And so having a conversation with someone where you just, you know, paper over the cracks and don't speak honestly about your beliefs is not a faithful witness to what Christ teaches. But the in love is the balancing factor. And so I think that comes back to how you actually communicate truth. And, you know, in this marriage debate, there has been a range of ways that people have approached it. Typically, people have felt judged when there has been a tone and an aggression in the way a message has been communicated from either side of the debate. Really, I would say in all of these kinds of conversations, it's trying to remain calm and respectful. It's trying to actually especially not judge the other person. You know, part of loving and being an expression of Jesus's love is that we care for all people. Every single person is precious in God's eyes. And we want to reflect that we, whatever a person believes, whatever their lifestyle, we still consider them precious in God's eyes. And we still believe that God loves them. And we can have a different view on a social issue or even a moral issue. That doesn't mean that we don't love them as a person. And certainly it shouldn't reflect antagonism and aggression in the way that we communicate with them.
Do you think there's a place for accepting or just holding on to the idea that also we just might be wrong? We might be, even though we believe that there is a truth that we hold on to, whatever way that might be, is there a sort of a humility in knowing this is what I believe to be the truth right now, but maybe I'm wrong in some areas and that's okay too?
Wow, what an interesting question in the context of this debate.
Yeah.
What I would say is if we look back in history, there would be positions that the church has held on particular issues where looking back, you'd say, well, that wasn't a right position. If we come to the present and even to a personal conversation between two people, I think that, yes, there's a humility that, you know, a person could say, this is what I believe, however, it's always possible that I'm wrong. I think that there's a distinction between that, though, and I guess, you know, core tenets of the faith, where you say, well, if you start saying, I think I could be wrong on these core tenets of the faith, then you sort of come to the point, well, what is your faith actually grounded upon? And so there's a distinction I would draw between core principles of Christian faith and then the outworkings of moral issues, which is, you know, I would put marriage equality sort of in that bucket. I have a personal view on the issue, and I don't think I'm wrong on the issue, but the issue of humility that you've raised should be reflected in the way I talk about that, to say, well, this is what I believe, rather than I am 100% certain that I'm right and you're wrong, and therefore this is the way it should be.
What's one final piece of advice you'd leave with us about navigating these difficult conversations that we're having right across Australia?
Well, the piece of advice that I'd give is actually from the book of Romans in the Bible. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And it's an amazing piece of advice because on the one hand, it recognises that it's not entirely within our power to live at peace with everyone. There are things where we can't control another person's response to a situation, but we can make every effort on our part to bring peace to a relationship. So in the context of that verse, I would say most of us operate on the assumption that if there's a strained relationship or even a broken relationship, well, there's time for that. I can get to that when I've got time. I want to just tell you a story of a case that I was involved in some years ago, where there were multiple parties from actually multiple countries, and it's the conflict spanned generations. And we brought the parties together, and there was an amazing reconciliation that took place as a result of people owning their contribution, confessing, repenting, being forgiven. It was an absolutely beautiful reconciliation that took place.
Wow.
But the sobering part of the story is that not so very long after that reconciliation took place, one of the main people involved in that conflict tragically died. And had that reconciliation not taken place at that time, that person wouldn't be there to have that restored. So here's my piece of advice. Think of your own relationships. Think of your family. Think of your children, your parents. Think of friends who are close to you, and maybe it's a strained relationship at the moment. Don't wait. We actually don't know how long each of us is here on this earth. So I encourage you, make peace now. Relationships are precious. Your relationships are hugely precious to you and to God. So be brave and be a peacemaker and seek to do whatever you can to restore it.
Bruce Burgess, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.